On the evening of the 18th of March, 2002, Mrs. Hildegard Armstrong, primary school teacher, crossword enthusiast, and battle axe, vanished without a trace. Having no immediate family or genuine friends, she was not immediately missed. In a sense, she was never truly missed at all, but after a number of days, her absence was noted and an investigation started by those who were paid to take an interest. 6 months later, when nothing had been found, the case was effectively dropped. After the dispersal of her property, the only things remaining of Mrs. Armstrong in this world were the unpleasant childhood memories kept by her ex-pupils and the closely guarded secret of her departure kept by Jack Benson. It was a Monday morning, and Year 4 were handing in the project work, which they had been set to complete over the weekend. In strict alphabetical order, every child was to place their workbooks on Mrs. Armstrong's desk, where she would then check them for outward neatness, child and book, before ticking off their name on one of her many lists. Not for the first time, Jack wished his surname was Zebedee. He didn't have anything to hand in, and rather than take his sister Amy's advice, tell her it was nicked, or his friend Kyle's, don't come in, say you're sick, he had decided to take a risk and tell her the truth. It was abducted by aliens, miss. Two people stifled a giggle, and Mrs. Armstrong decided to pause. Her controlled pause was the most useful thing that she had learned in all her years of teaching, her trademark and a point of pride. Show no fear, emotion, or lack of control, and if in doubt, pause. Sometimes, when they grew rowdy on a Friday or windy day, she would freeze, statuesque, sometimes mid-sentence, and stare meaningfully as for as long as it took at the air above their heads. They had learned to fear her pauses. She had at least taught them that. Her chief motivation for keeping her hair short and stiffly lacquered was that when she stood still, a fluttering lock could not betray her. So Jack Benson had failed to complete his homework because it had been abducted by aliens. Extreme cheek that required a level 8 pause. Focused on one child first thing on a Monday morning. This was almost deadly.
Honestly, miss, they said not to say anything, but I knew you'd be mad, so I had to tell the truth, because the lie detector and that, and maybe the others won't believe me, but you'll know it's the truth, and oh, you won't tell anyone else, will you, miss? They said they'd give it back to me on Wednesday.
He was taking it well. He was stuttering, clearly nervous, but still keeping up his bizarre excuse. Lesser children had crumbled under a steady level 5. She smiled inwardly at the mention of the lie detector, and glad to hear the room of her secret interrogation room was still doing the rounds. Without changing her exterior of controlled fury, she took a moment to wonder if a lie detector might actually be useful. Perhaps a fake one for psychological purposes. Lots of wires, flashing lights, some sort of helmet. She had heard it a trick used to good effect in poorly equipped police states in, was it South America? Jack Benson was still talking. He had always been an irritatingly spirited 8-year-old, but this was becoming unusual. She heightened her pause.
I said I had to do projects, and they were like dead interested because it was on pirates, and they said they never knew what pirates were, and I said they could look at it, but I had to hand it in on Monday, and they sent it off for tests and that, but then they couldn't get it back because of the weather or something.
Enough. Tittering was growing at the back, and unchecked, Jack Benson's defiance could become a crisis of discipline as serious as when Donna Carlton bit her shin in 1984. I'll give you one last chance before I put the whole room on lunchtime detention. Why have you not completed your homework?
But I did do it, miss. Honest. It's just that it was taken.
Stolen?
Borrowed.
Right. You can all put your project books away now. I don't want to see any of them. And there will be no drawing or nature today. Thanks to Jack, we'll be having spelling tests all morning, and in the afternoon, mental arithmetic. Jack was justly horrified. He had decided to tell the truth, because it was the right thing to do, and when you tell the truth, even if you have done something bad, you get fair treatment. Like the truth, fairness was solid, mighty, and dependable. Might not always be nice, but at least you knew where you stood. Now, not only was he being punished for telling the truth, but the whole class with him. Something very fundamental was going wrong. It didn't make sense, and he didn't like it.
But miss, that's not fair!
I will be the judge of that, Jack Benson. Sit down. Nothing more was spoken that morning, but the matter did not rest easily in the minds of either party. The more Mrs. Armstrong thought about it, the more offensive his excuse had been. Was a day of punishment for the whole class really enough? Jack wasn't allowed to forget. At break time, Louise Tucker said he was a little freak, and Gareth Mossop kicked him twice. When 3:15 finally arrived, Mrs. Armstrong released her class and set off home in a mood so good that it bordered on satisfied. Rather than the mess and noise of art and nature, she had filled almost 5 hours with silent tests, on top of which she had gained an extra day before marking the dreaded local history project. She hated to be reminded of what she was surrounded by, and interviews with grandparents always told the same story. The streets were safer, the houses were smaller, someone's auntie's cousin's friend was offered a drink by Paul McCartney but thought he had bad hair. She found it intensely irritating that she was obliged to listen to child after child blabbering enthusiastically and proudly about something that deserved no enthusiasm or pride. A city built on slavery and piracy by smugglers and opportunist thieves. When they spoke of ships and cargoes and adventure, she saw stowaway rats and stowaway urchins and dirty dealings and greasy corners. Every single one of her pupils had something of the docks about them, a missing link in their genealogy, a secret door in their cellar, and an unhealthy loyalty to their fellow sailors. These Bensons were clearly of this salty ilk. The rotten apple doesn't fall far from the tree, I see. Turning into quicksave, she smirked openly at her mixed metaphor. Why was she teaching Year 5? Jack shuffled home in fear and confusion. He knew that there were bad people in the world, but he thought if they got caught, they got sent to prison and taught how to be good or something along those lines. If Mrs. Armstrong was really bad, then how could she be a teacher? And if teachers could be bad without anyone noticing, then all sorts of people could be. He knew this would need some serious thought. All about him, the world was beginning to look a little different, duller, distant, and a bit less friendly. He was staring at the cracks in the pavement, wondering if they were getting any bigger, when he collided with a woman walking in the opposite direction. She dropped her shopping, a tub of yogurt burst dramatically between them, and apples rolled merrily into the gutter. It was Mrs. Armstrong.
You!
Me? Any other day, and Jack would have been full of instant apologies, but he did not feel quite so talkative as usual, and so he fell straight to his knees and began collecting up the apples. Using all her inner strength, Mrs. Armstrong resisted the urge to squarely kick him up the backside.
Leave them now, they're no good to anybody.
Looking at the small boy scrabbling pathetically at her feet, she realized that something, however, must be done. Action must be taken, and satisfaction won.
Take me to your mother.
Jack's initial fear was now evolving into complacent fatalism, and without any expression of surprise or fuss, he nodded and led the way. Mrs. Armstrong knew where they lived and would know if he tried to take a detour. A nasty street. Half of it demolished and half of it filled with asylum seekers and similar cases. There must be something wrong with these Bensons for them to be housed here. Perhaps she was a single mother, the father, or most likely fathers, in prison or on the dole or sailing the high seas. Having not quite lost all her groceries, she felt somewhat armed with her tin of sweet corn and loaf of fibrous brown bread. She took a quick glance over her shoulder and was shocked to discover that she was being followed at a very close distance by a medium-sized dog. Is that yours?
No, he lives next door.
It was about the size of a Labrador, but with the face of a Yorkshire Terrier, and its greater brown hair was patching length and tone. It stared at her blankly, with one front paw lifted, as if it had frozen where she had turned, playing grandmother's footsteps.
Shoo!
The dog didn't move. That isn't to say it stayed in a similar place, maintaining its distance. It simply didn't move. It remained in its best paw forward pose, staring impassively at Mrs. Armstrong. For a moment, Mrs. Armstrong glared back, but she quickly thought better of entering into a staring competition with a dog that was clearly mad and therefore potentially dangerous. She muttered, "A stupid animal," and quickened her step to catch up with the boy, who had just turned into the front garden of number 29. Before entering the garden herself, she turned to check on the dog and let out a small gasp, as she found it only a foot behind her, still staring, still holding one paw aloft, and deadly still. Disappointed in her lack of nerve, she quickly put the small garden gate between her and the peculiar beast, took a deep breath, and stepped up to Mrs. Benson's front door. After one knock, the door was opened by a girl of about 12, who took one look at the visitor, screamed, and slammed it shut again. Mrs. Armstrong began to suspect that this really was a very bad idea. Without needing another knock, the door was opened again, this time by Mrs. Benson herself, neat but not glamorous in blue jeans and a fitted pink shirt. Mrs. Armstrong looked her up and down. There must be less than 10 years between them, and she had very little time for women who had 4 children and wore light, tight blue jeans. Rising to her full height of 5'4", something which only impressed children under the age of 10, Mrs. Armstrong decided it was wise to give Mrs. Benson a bit of a pause before the onslaught.
"Can I help you?"
"It isn't so much what you can do for me, but what you must do for your poor wayward children.
I beg your pardon. You are Mrs. Benson? Yes?
I am Mrs. Armstrong.
I see.
We need to have a serious conversation about your son Jack. He is cheeky to the point of rudery, and you seem to encourage him.
Rudery?
Yes.
Is that a word?
Mrs. Benson, I... Despite being at a very high level of annoyance, Mrs. Armstrong was momentarily distracted by the opening of the front door immediately to her left, number 27. Expecting a nosy neighbour, she paused, hoping the person would leave without comment. Nobody emerged. The patchy grey dog walked inside. There was definitely something peculiar about that dog. Had she been paying more attention, she would have noticed that the dog had not walked into the house at all. It could not have walked, because at no point had it moved its feet from the position of three on the ground, one paw forward. The dog had been on the street, and now it was in the house. How it got there was a mystery.
You were saying, Mrs. Armstrong?
Not only did your son fail to complete his weekend homework, but he offered instead a ridiculous and offensive lie. But I must say that this is a little surprise that he has no time for homework when he spends his afternoons tearing around the street throwing other people's property into the road.
Jack?
Tell your mother what you told me this morning, Jack, about your project book. Jack was spent. He had already been through fear, distress, guilt, and deep concern for the stability of the known universe. He was a long way past merely sheepish or even cross, but was still some distance from becoming cynical. He was a fortunate child, blessed with a strong resolve, and it would take more than a day of disappointment to push him over that edge. Where that left him, however, was a blank emotional limbo, and so with no motivation or thoughts of the consequences, he stuck to his original plan, telling the truth.
Said it was abducted by aliens. And why did you say that, love? Because it was. It's the truth. They're going to give it back to me on Wednesday.
Jack nodded towards the house next door as he spoke, and Linda Benson realised how the confusion had arisen. She beamed a broad smile. For a moment, she was tempted to say nothing to the horrific woman taking up her doorstep, but poor Jack still had 4 months to get through in her class, and she was known for holding grudges.
Mrs. Armstrong, I think there's been a bit of a misunderstanding. The people next door haven't been living here very long. Jack must have heard them being referred to as aliens somewhere and got a bit confused. He didn't mean to tell a lie, and I'm sure they'll give him his homework back if he asks for it this evening. Now, I don't want to be rude, but I'm in the middle of making tea. Come on, Jack.
The door closed in front of Mrs. Armstrong like a smack in the face. She had no satisfaction. No action had been taken, and there were still the apples and yoghurt to be atoned for. Something must yet be done, and the low height of the wall dividing the doorstep where she stood and that of the house next door seemed to her an invitation. A good rant would help her sleep later, and she knew she would enjoy it just as much if they didn't speak a word of English. After persistent knocking, she knew they were in, she'd seen their mangy dog. She was surprised to receive an answer that was not only English, but very clearly spoken English. The accent was American, however, drawling and slightly mechanical, somewhere between Lloyd Grossman and Stephen Hawking. Go away. I won't bother you long. Leave. I'm Jack Benson's teacher. I believe he's been spending time with you. Be gone. Get lost. Hit the road. Scram. The voice from inside was monotonous and unemotional. It was impossible to believe that whoever was speaking actually meant what they were saying. Mrs. Armstrong tried the door. It was unlocked. I want to speak to you about Jack Benson. It is a serious matter of education. She pushed the door open, leant, and then stepped inside. As her eyes adjusted to the dimmer light, she realised that she was staring face to face with a Bengal tiger. Before she could react to the shock, she realised that it was only half a tiger and that it was stuffed. She walked slowly into what she expected to be the usual hallway-come-staircase of a small terraced house, but found herself instead to be looking at the whole of the ground floor, all dividing walls having been removed. She was completely surrounded by stuffed animals of every nationality and dimension. An orangutan leaned precariously over the banister. A dick-dick peered out from under the stairs, and above her, puffins, orcs, and blue-footed boobies were nailed this way and that to the ceiling. It was a colourful but disorderly and macabre collection. The dead gaze of so many pairs of marble eyes was definitely eerie, but also somehow familiar. There was no furniture or decoration to be seen, and aside from deceased beasts, the only visible home contents were half a dozen large fruit bowls, each one full to the brim and topped off with a pineapple. There was no sign at all of the owner of the menagerie, fruit, or American accent. Feeling overwhelmingly underwelcome, Mrs. Armstrong turned to quietly leave as she arrived, but stopped short when she caught the eye of the patchy grey dog. Set amongst the other inanimate animals, the unusually still dog did not look quite so strange. It just looked stuffed. She had seen it move, however, and it was now barring her way to the door.
Shoo. No reaction. She hurled her sweet corn and missed. She had more success with the brown bread, but it bounced off the dog's hindquarters to no effect. She looked about her for a more convincing weapon. Oranges could be thrown en masse, and she could be fairly dexterous with the banana, but she decided that if it came to a fight, the wrong end of a pineapple would be most effective. Fruit in hand, she stepped towards the dog. The dog did not move. She began to make short, jabbing motions in its direction. She was almost on top of it when Jack Benson burst through the door.
No, miss, don't hurt them.
Don't be stupid, boy. This dog is a menace.
Oh, come out, show her. She'll never believe me otherwise, and Amy says she'll kill me in school tomorrow if you don't stop talking about you.
Jack was talking to the dog. Mrs. Armstrong began to wonder if she had been on the wrong track all along. He was not being cheeky, but suffering from a delusion of some kind. Just her luck to be forced to teach lunatics as well as idiots. Before she could demand some explanation, the deep, monotonous voice spoke again. She couldn't quite place it, but it was definitely coming from within the room. Okay, Jack. Slowly, and with a quiet hissing sound, the dog split evenly down the middle from end to end. The two halves fell to the floor, exposing a mechanism of pistons, levers, and rotating spheres, on top of which sat four blue creatures, one behind the other. Stop there.